throughout Lent, the encounter of Hagar and Ishmael with the divine in the book of Genesis 16 and 21, which we have just listened to, stayed with me. An experience I have come to name disruptive memories, which became intense during the Good Friday solemn scripture readings, especially the Psalms of Lament. At one moment, I heard the voice of Ishmael, a teenager who must have learned from his mother how she had encountered an angel of the Lord who pronounced his name Ishmael, which means God hears. God whom Hagar had named Elroi, exclaiming, "Have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him?" In other words, according to Hagar, God of seeing, or God who sees. Thirsty, hungry, and near-death Ishmael mutters words only an angel could hear, as if he was paraphrasing parts of Psalm 22. "My God, my God, who hears and sees, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me?" From the words of my groaning, "O my God of my mother, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. In you, my pregnant mother trusted. She trusted, and you delivered her. To you, she cried, and you saved her. In you, she trusted, and was not put to shame." But I am a child of a slave woman, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They sneer at me. They shake their heads. "Huh? Let the God of your mother deliver you. Let God who hears and sees rescue the one in whom he delights." Yet, it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Rather than answer dying Ishmael, the listening angel turns to devastated and helpless mother. "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. What a relief! What a sight! Mother and son embrace. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got him a wife, got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. No longer slaves, freedom is here. As we entered the season of Easter, I couldn't help but hear these disruptive memories of Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness through the resurrection narratives as we moved from Good Friday to Easter Vigil on the good news that Christ is risen, shared by Mary Magdalene and her sisters. Then Pastor Ade invited me to preach today. As soon as I said yes, he informed me it's Good Shepherd Sunday. And I went numb. What more is there to say on these familiar texts in John 10 and Psalm 23? Thankfully, I had whispers of Hagar and Ishmael articulating their experiences and their understanding of the divine or the good shepherd in the wilderness of Beersheba and the wilderness of Paran. As we have heard, each had a personal experience with God. I can only imagine Hagar sharing with Ishmael as a young boy how, when she was pregnant with him, she had an endearing conversation with an angel when she was given his name, God Hears, at the spring of water in the wilderness, a sign of life and hospitality, and told her to return to her ruthless mistress. In my wildest of imagination, God of Hagar and Ishmael knew pregnant Hagar would have shelter and enough to eat during her most vulnerable months if she went back to Sarai and Abram. Moreover, she was promised, "I will so greatly multiply your offspring that they cannot be counted for multitude." I believe these encounters were shared with Hagar's 12 grandsons as she became a great matriarch. After the birth of Ishmael, I couldn't help but hear Hagar singing Psalm 23 repeatedly. When the going got tough in the presence of her mistress Sarai, and later named Sarah, I hear Hagar nodding as John 10 is read out loud, because she knew God sees when the thief is ready to strike. Deep down in her heart, she knew the good shepherd not only calls, but listens, reaches out, and feeds those wandering in the wilderness without water, food, and shelter, because she had been there. Like his mother, Ishmael may too have sung Psalm 23 to his wife and sons. The God who hears, the God who sees, and the God who feeds the hungry. It is no wonder Phyllis Trible, an American feminist biblical scholar, has called Hagar a theologian. Trible reminds us that Hagar knows suffering and abuse. She represents many women, faithful maids who are exploited, the surrogate mother, the resident alien without legal recourse, the African woman used by the male and abused by the female of the ruling class. Yet Hagar brings to the table something other than suffering and rejection. She is the first person in the Bible whom divine messenger visits, and the only person who dares to name the divine. Hagar is the first woman to hear an annunciation and the only one to receive a divine promise of descendants. She is the first woman to weep for her dying child and receive divine assurance that he will survive and thrive. In freedom, she reunites Ishmael with his people by finding him a wife in the land of Egypt, and that secures for herself a future as the founding mother of a nation, a matriarch, an ancestor of a multitude. Furthermore, many African American Christians, especially women, resonate with these narratives of Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness as they retell their journey from Africa into slavery in the Americas and their struggles to freedom. For instance, Doris Williams, the late African American Presbyterian theologian, has extensively researched on Hagar in the African American biblical appropriation on the survival and the quality of life from time of slavery to the present day. While desperately wandering in the wilderness, Hagar and Ishmael came face to face with God, who provided resources, and they received new vision to see the way forward. Doris Williams talks of making a way where there was no way, like a good shepherd who cares deeply. Sisters and brothers, it is reasonable then to conclude that these biblical disruptive memories may expand our community's knowledge of the Good Shepherd's activity in the world today. For instance, in a community of faith like ours, which has many children, teenagers, and young adults, and their parents, grandparents, godparents, guardians, mentors, and friends from a wide variety of social backgrounds, Hagar and Ishmael's experiences can give us opportunities to explore and interpret scriptures as we imagine Ishmael asking hard questions of his parents. Because by the time they were sent away, Ishmael was around the age of 15, already circumcised the same day as his father, who was 99 years old. He must have overheard a lot of God talk in his growing up from both of his parents. We may ask, which God did Ishmael worship and trust? The God of Hagar or the God of Abraham? Certainly, such questions may help us to talk about the complexity of the Bible and how to make sense out of it, even with our children. We may not get all the answers, but at least we'll have the permission to ask those questions. I can hear Ishmael angrily asking his mother, "Now, where is that divine good shepherd you sang about all the time when the going got tough in the hands of Sarah? If indeed my name means God hears, and the God you named sees, why did he allow Sarah and Abraham to chase us away?" What kind of questions did Ishmael continue to ask his mother in the wilderness of Paran, especially when he became a husband and a father, we may wish to ask? There are possibilities that Ishmael questioned his father about the more than once promise God made that he will make a nation of him also, like Isaac, because after all, he was Abraham's offspring. He was actually his first child. It would be interesting to retell this narrative from 15-year-old Ishmael's perspective, probably today through TikTok and other modern media. Such narratives, such disruptive memories, like many others in the scriptures, despite all of because of their ambiguities and contradictions, create opportunities for rigorous intergenerational contextual Bible studies with our children of different age groups, at the same time asking, what does the Good Shepherd require of us today? As children and adults of the resurrection, what may we say when we hear the voice of dying children? What do we do with troubled Hagar, watching her child die from a distance? What may we tell a distressed father who abandons his own flesh and blood? What new resources and visions may we draw from such disruptive memories in our journey of faith in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd? Amen.